You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Yeah. us with your life. Running like a rare disease. Running like a rare disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. there's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. Hope you're going to have a good day that will bring you much pleasure, much joy. And hope you get a chance to do all the things that you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it will get done. Because you'll get it done. Because it must get done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. From 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain. 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, brothers and sisters, go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. You also can use the shortcut. Go to whatever search engine you use, Google Chrome, Internet Explorer, Time for an Awakening, and then put in the search, babaoshi.net. BABAOSHI.net, BABAOSHI.net, and then once again, there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Today's Friday. Yesterday, they had from 7 to 8 on Thursdays, the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move with Brother Patrick Lumumba, of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club on Thursdays. This evening at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Tomorrow from 7 p.m. to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba. He is back from Azania. Can't wait to talk with him. And hopefully that'll be soon. Hopefully it'll be next week sometime, of course. And talk about the other upcoming trips that you can take advantage of. Africa for the Africans. And the next trip is March 29th to April 9th, Liberia and Morocco. Then July 11th to the 23rd, Ghana. November 21st to December 2nd, Kemet. December 24th to January 4th, 2025, Zinya. April 1st to April 11th, 2025, Senegal and Gambia. May 24th to June 5th, 2025, Ghana. November 21st to December 1st, Brazil. And, of course, like I said, there'll be more upcoming trips. And really appreciate what this brother has done.
Okay. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani for pictures. Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, YouTube.com/Bomani2007 for videos of previous tours. AfricaForTheAfrican.org. Habashah. HabashahIncorporated.org. Habashah. They're having a program at the Art Exchange next month. Usually comes up on the website here. It's not coming up. Ah, here it is. February 3rd, 2024. Man, it's just crawling in. February 23rd. That's a Saturday. And then they took it away. But I'll give you more information upon that for those who are in the Atlanta area. But also, to check out HabashahIncorporated.org, helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. And you can definitely go on the line and check out the Kashi Project in Ghana and the work that they're doing there. The Ledge Group. Ledge, Land for the Environmental Development Ledge, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. The brothers and sisters with the Ledge Group, they deal in the area of human necessity, of human existence, of human, without it, we don't live, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in six different countries, over 170 employed, and over 260 members. Ledge Group, brothers and sisters, go to the ledgegroup.com. Abibiatumi.com. I'm going to be talking about this today. We're going to go to the Bibi Atumi page with a tribute to Baba Dr. Kamal Gambon and tributes and so forth. And so we'll be talking about that. Smy Pharmacy, SmaiFarmacy. Smy Pharmacy, Brother Jabril. Give him contact, Brother Jabril. At 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. He has so much more on his website. He kept adding stuff. It just looks great. Tons of products, essential oils, and so forth. Yeah, he's got a whole array of stuff. And, man, organic white peach tea. Some organic teas, some herbal teas, yeah. So, go to smaipharmacy.com, Smy Pharmacy, SmaiFarmacy.com. The Moses West Foundation, Moses got a new picture up, man. Moses West Foundation. Water is free, and that's what it should be. Here's a bunch of kids behind them and so forth. Yeah. How does your contribution make a difference? Your funding is used for the Atmospheric Water Generator Development Installation, the AWG, Atmospheric Water Generators. Research and development, operational costs, educational and awareness, emergency response and sustainability projects. That's in a whole array of stuff. Brother Moses West, accomplished innovator in atmospheric water generator, the AWG contracting, has operated the AWG system on behalf of the Moses West Foundation in Puerto Rico, Jackson, Mississippi, Flint, Michigan, to provide clean water to over 5,000 plus residents. The AWG contracting directed the approval process of the advancement and implementation of industrial atmospheric water generating technology to provide a source of safe, clean drinking water for military forces, disaster and emergency responses, humanitarian and sustainability projects. All manufacturing is done in the United States. This is a veteran-owned company. Brother Moses West Foundation and AWG Contracting are powerhouse for clean, sustainable water system to provide clean water for all. Ashe. That's a new piece. And so we'll get off into that. Wadada's. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar located here in the West End on Ralph Tabor and Abernathy Boulevard. Wadada's. They have a fine selection of drinks, smoothies, fruit drinks, and so forth. So check out Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. I see some nice pictures of Mama Nia online. You know, believe me, brothers and sisters, if you are in the Atlanta area and you can get a chance to go to the Greenbrier Mall, the Medu Bookstore, she has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, all and so much more. And the ability to have book signings and other presentations is outstanding. So give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia, that is east of Atlanta, off of I-20. Jump on I-20, head east, take exit 74. When you exit, then make a left onto the main street of Lithonia. You're headed north. In about a mile, on the left will be the new Black Wall Street On the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. See, that's what you get for putting the new Black Wall Street Market stuff out. And you're looking at that when you want to see this. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Brother Gazende Ajamu, my good friend. He has the red, black, and green shoes. He has T-shirts, postcards, all kind of good stuff. But more importantly, he has a lot of teas and so forth. That's right, the coffee bar. Give him a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. Jump back on your ride now. You're headed back in the opposite direction, and you're headed south. You jump back on I-20, make a left, jump back on I-20, headed east again. The next exit, exit 75, Turner Hill Road. You make a right, three lights, you make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. There you go, Brother Oshie. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative Fire People. Last night, they had their Thursday night broadcast, every Thursday night, on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU every Thursday night from 9 to 10, from 9 to 10. The number to call if you want to just to listen or if you have questions, comments, or concerns is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. And, of course, on Fridays, I talk about my good brother Yusuf Muhammad and his program, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. And that's from 4 to 6. 4 to 6 Eastern Time, 4 to 6 Eastern Time. And the number to call is 563-999-3089. That's 563-999-3089. Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop located in Macon, Georgia, 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia, to be exact. They're open Tuesdays. They're open Tuesdays through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Give Brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Contact my sister, Shelly Amonset, at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sanjay-Haiti. Brothers and sisters, go to the website. Sanjay, SONJAYITI.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. And check out what Sister Gabby has been doing, the great job she's been doing with the children in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. All right. Mamba Broody and Baba Ya. Of course, their school is going on. A lot of them going to virtual. But also, too, he's put together some three, four-week online courses. The first one, Osafo, February 7th to the 28th. The next one is Message to the Warriors, May 1st to the 22nd. These, let me see, what day of week are these? Is it four courses? And the first course is February 7th. That's a Wednesday. So that's a Wednesday. So the 7th, the 14th, the 21st, and the 28th. The courses are on Wednesdays. And the one is same thing in May. May 1st to the 22nd. And the same thing in August. 7th through the 28th. Message to the Warriors in Iowa. All right. So brothers and sisters, you can take advantage of these. I'll get the more details as they come, okay? All right. The Inya Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. And of course, you know on Fridays we read Saturday as well. So we come back Monday, we read Sunday and Monday. That's how we do it, so we make sure we get all 7 days in. Excuse me. January 4th. Only through the study and practice of African culture can there be a renewal of the African mind. Readjustment of the African personality, a realignment of the African character, and a mending of the African soul. There is a healing principle inherent in African culture. Culture develops and evolves us. It defines us and tells us who we are. Not only does it tell us who we are, it tells us how we are to be. Self-knowledge is impossible without authentic African cultural awareness. Self-knowledge is impossible without authentic African cultural awareness. Imhotep Fetu. Communal society, the human way of life that we seek to bring back into existence, requires a natural, easy flow of honesty and trust. There must be an earnest goodwill and the prioritization of each other's health and well-being in order for it to again become our natural way. Know that if this is not what we are doing, then we are not striving to be African. It means that we are not striving. This is easier to understand when we are knowledgeable about the opposite of who we are trying to become. Being familiar with what we are not and to do not want to remain or become brings clarity. It helps demystify the natural vision of an African self. This is particularly true when who we now appear to be has been so grossly obscured by our submersion in the culture and society of our opposites. This is one of the most important fundamental pieces we need to claim personal responsibility for deciphering in this oppositional reality in order to begin to correctly mold our children into who they need to become in order to prepare them to assume frontline roles in a re-Africanization movement, which spiritually returns us to the communal society. Only after the spiritual changes does the physical adjust to our desires. Affirm, I study and practice African culture. This is not easy, family. This is not, you know, this is not easy, because if it was easy, it would have been done. Especially here. This is not easy, but it must be done if we are to return to who we are. January 5th. This place, this system, this thing called education, this isn't it. This isn't learning. This isn't teaching. This is babysitting. This is the penal system expressed in their lives at an early age. This is corruption. This is failure. This This is not it in Zynga Felix. African-centered educators' mission is to cultivate thinkers, not regurgitators. Repeat, African-centered educators' mission is to cultivate thinkers, not regurgitators. Regurgitators are trained to speak and build out of Urugu's mind, believing that its politics are human. Even if questioning everything, those who can only parrot the thought patterns and interests of the dominant enemy culture cannot build sovereignty. They can only put back on white and call it first. Regurgitators can only imitate, even if what they devise gives the appearance of being unique. Its spirit remains that of our oppressors. They can never build what we need. African sovereignty requires creating and sustaining a powerful state of existence in the face of effect. This requires a functional Sankofian visionary knowledge and an application of self. It requires them to truly know what it means to be and actually to be African. Teaching regurgitation can never give them this. Thinkers, on the other hand, are given the opportunity to interpret reality through the eyes of our ancestors. They are given the tools necessary to create the reality African people need to unconditionally be African. And if they honor the privilege and the requirements of this obligation, they will use our words to speak a truth that moves African people toward a sovereign material and intellectual existence. Urugu's way is unworthy of their higher intellect because they have been taught by knowledgeable educators to be nothing less than African. Ashe. Affirm, I do not submit my children to a failing educational system. Affirm, I do not submit my children to a failing educational system. And it's unfortunate that's predominant. And that is predominant if your school is not African-centered, if your school is not taught by Africans, period. It could be a choice school, a charter school, a homeschool. Yeah, even homeschool, you know, because you are required to teach these particular things through this, through the Department of Public Instructions, you know. So, no, only through an African-centered, wholly African-centered program can that happen. January 6th, as long as you are a black man, you are an African. No mind your nationality. You have got the identity of an African. Let me repeat that. As long as you are a black man, you're an African. No mind your nationality. I don't give a damn where you are. The Caribbean, Jamaican, whatever. You have got the identity of an African. Peter Tosh. In this psychological war against a conscious African identity, we know that the memory loss and confusion over who we really are is a direct result of our enslavement, our captivity, the dehumanization and the learned self-hatred. We know that this assured and this assault against our humanity has been produced a number of us who will die denying their Africanness. The Africanness. They will deny their Africanness. So we understand why these victims believe they are not and cannot be such a person as an African, and there never was and never can be such a sovereign social cultural identity as an African nation. There are those of us, however, who have no question as to our identity. And know that our identity will never change, no matter where we happen to reside on the face of this earth and when we begin to reside there. These individuals are crystal clear. They are neither confused by the geopolitical boundaries nor the glorious intensity of our visible melanin. They know that we are one and bask in our identity as Africans. I say, affirm, I am an African everywhere and at all times. Affirm, I am an African everywhere and at all times. That's right. That's right. I think for some of us, you know, we don't say that. We don't say that enough because many of us don't believe that. Yeah. Yeah, Kwame Nkrumah. Kwame Nkrumah. So, haven't read some of these things in so long, you know, and any of them, kind of forgot some where some of them are, but I'm going to pull them up. They deserve to be read. Yeah. I think I must have okay, I'm going to find them, family. I appreciate your patience. Yeah, and here we're coming upon them. I know they were back in the day, so. I always like to read Ezra Erehone, The Sovereign Psyche. This quote, because this quote is just dynamic, man. It really is. It truly explains our situation. There is no other historical instance of a formerly enslaved people who valued integration with their former captors to the point where they completely abandoned the superior wealth of their own homeland. This one is very frustrating, family, because it is unfortunately true. There is no historical, there's nothing in the annals of history where the people who were colonized, the people who were enslaved, the people who were moved upon, that they valued the Caucasians that did it or the entity that did it more so than their own land, which had superior wealth. When you look at Africa today, Brother Irv, I was talking with Brother Irv, and he was saying about the fact that many of these Caucasians would kill leaders who would try to develop their own currency. That was the reason why Muammar Gaddafi was eliminated. That's why he was killed. When he talked about introducing the gold dinar to the African continent, because he became the president of the African Union, and that you would have to buy his outstanding crude oil with that currency, and many Africans were going to follow suit. No, he had to go. The campaign against him as being a dictator and a crazy man was ramped up. The talk from Barack Obama, the talk from Hillary Clinton, the talk from all the others, Tony, I don't know if Tony Blair, I don't give a damn who was the British person, but the talk from them, the talk from the French, all of them. We have to kill him. We have to get rid of him. Just like Saddam Hussein, we have to get rid of him. And then, of course, as they do it, they put the pictures of how they just dogged them out, humiliated them, and put them on the internet for the world to see how if you do something that we don't like, then we'll jump in your ass too. You know? There is no historical, there's no information like that at all in history of a former enslaved people who valued them crackers, those who did what they did to them. And they completely abandoned the superior wealth of their own homeland. Went to America and felt that this is what's most important. Yeah. Yeah, family. This is crazy, ain't it? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Okay, here's the other one I'm going to read. Haven't read them in quite a while. And, hey, Brother Irv. Good morning, sir. Good morning, my brother.
Baba Oshie, I apologize for cutting in on what you're saying, but you what you're saying is so absolutely correct with Arugu. The one thing that Arugu is, because he's so greedy, when they hear that a country is going to print their own money, that signals Arugu to ramp up the coups and ramp up the takeover of the destabilization. Because right. That's what's happening. And that's what's happening right now. They're seeing that these aren't coups. These are revolutions that's happening now.
Okay.
And
okay.
They see that. So they're ramping it up because they're taking over their national. They've just nationalized Exxon in Africa. So wait a minute. That means you took Exxon and now it belongs to the people.
Right on.
And come on now. So and I think they did this in Burkina Faso, mm-hmm. or maybe even Chad. They're taking the gold mines and nationalizing them.
Yes.
So they're running the Arugu out of there, mm-hmm. when it comes to the resources. So what are they doing now? They're everything else around them, they're trying to destabilize. Because the thing is, we're going to give you aid, and the Africans are saying, we don't need aid.
Right. We don't want your aid.
What we need aid for? We're sitting on diamonds and gold and cobalt. And what do we need? Hey, if you're going to give us some aid, give us some guns to run these colonized stuff out of here.
Yep.
We don't need aid. And they're saying, if you don't take the aid, if you don't agree with this homosexuality mindset that we have, then you can't get the aid. They say, keep your aid and keep your homosexuals. Mm-hmm. And you can take the ones that we have here there with you.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Go ahead and leave.
You wait a minute. This is the hypocrisy really quickly, and I'm going to stop, Baba Oshie. The Arugu brings in a religion that you want me to believe in. And the religion clearly says that the homosexuality is an abomination. Then you turn around and tell me that I have to accept homosexuality against the religion that your fake missionaries brought here. Because they're fake. They're not real missionaries. They're not talking. They're not trying to. Why is the pastor so rich? If they really want to help the people, why does all the money center into the pastor's hand? Mm-hmm. Why do you have a $9 million, a $10 million house, T.D. Jakes, if it's for everybody? Mm-hmm. It's not for everybody, and it's not going to be. And the book that you wrote perpetuates what it is that you want to have, not what it can't be a we thing. It's a me thing.
Oh, no doubt.
And that's we're here in this individualism mindset that we live in right now, Baba Oshie. I'm sorry. Go ahead with your message. I just had to say that.
I appreciate it.
brother, I'm listening. Yeah. You know I am. I'm going to come back a little later. But it's just amazing how Irugu sneaks into your mind through athletics, through entertainment. You know, I mean, brother,
everything.
I saw online that Jackie Robinson's wife is 101 years old today. It's a birthday.
Oh, is that right? Rachel Robinson is 100. Oh, man, what a beautiful woman. What a beautiful spirit.
101. And he understood politics. He understood what these Caucasians were doing to us, and he did. But the thing is, but what somebody texted me and said, you know, the guy from Starsky and Hutch died today. That is the guy's soul. Now let's be clear.
Okay.
the guy from Starsky and Hutch is an entertainer. I don't know him.
Yeah.
But he came into my home through that television.
Right.
So it seems like I know him. That's the mind game that's being run on us. That's why you're sitting here humming music and singing songs that is channeled to you. So why do I know so much about Starsky and Hutch? Because it came on every day. Dick Gregory said that. Mm-hmm. He said, when you come on TV every day, you become powerful. I mean, the boy that comes on Family Feud. He comes on every day.
Steve
Oshie,
Harvey.
If John Henry Clark came on television every day.
Yeah, exactly. That would be deep. Well, that couldn't happen. They wouldn't allow it. You know,
No,
only person that can come on every day is those compromising Negroes and those folks who are willing to perpetuate the system that Urugu has created for himself. No, you cannot be adversarial and come on every day. Hell no.
No.
You know, especially on the national network. Oh, no. Mm-mm, we ain't having that.
Because that's how they teach. Television is not entertainment. It is education. It's indoctrination.
Yep.
And if you don't have a TV where you can pick what you want, They're gonna pick it for you,
yep.
And then you sit here watching Drag Queen Runway and wondering, and wonder why you people. I got a little boy inside of my son said he had a little girl inside of him. Well, if your son said he was a bird, would you take him up on the roof and throw him off? No, because he doesn't have wings. It's just like he can't be a girl because he doesn't have ovaries. So stop it.
Stop it, man.
You're letting
stop
someone
it.
Tell you what to do
it.
And how to think. So we have to think. Kind of, if you can't think for yourself, just read. Read. The one thing that Urugu doesn't want you to do is to read. Just to pick up a book and open it and just read it and put it down. You ain't got to sit there and read the whole book. And then pick it up again and read it some more. But see, the TV, you don't have to pick up anything. Just turn it on, and in between, whatever it is that you want to see, we'll push it out. You know, because I was watching the game the other day, and they kept showing this damn Burger King commercial. Man, that burger looks so damn good. But I understand.
Especially with color TV. You know, when they got the high definition, Jack, you know.
Oh, my God, it's dripping. Yeah. And I understand marketing. I know that the burger was actually waxed. They actually used motor oil to make it seem shiny. I know these things. Mm-hmm. I know these. It wasn't a real, it's not a real burger. That's why you never see them take a bite.
Right.
You never see them bite the burger because it's not a real burger. But damn, it looked good, Baba Oshie.
That's right. It's supposed to. It's supposed to.
But I stopped, and I got gathered myself, mm-hmm. and I went on. Because we are in a fight and a struggle, and there's nothing but distractions. They want me to talk about everything. We got to fight for the Palestinians. I'm not Palestinian. Mm-hmm. I don't want nothing. I don't want what's happening to the Palestinians to happen. But they've been doing this in Africa forever. So why aren't we fighting for Africa? Why aren't we fighting to help the Africans? Mm-hmm. Why isn't that on the television? Why don't we? And we do see it now. We're seeing it on Al Jazeera television and a lot of other stations. But Africa's fight has not ever stopped. The Palestinians, their fight, don't get me
it's
wrong.
Been 70 years, brother.
Correct. Correct.
70 years.
Come on. They're still fighting. Yeah. And they're going to amp it up because Africa has woken up. We're the youngest population in the world. Mm-hmm. We have awakened. Yeah. Why do you think they're all over there?
Yeah.
Nah, Brother Oshie, I'm going to hold on, brother, and listen. Thank you for
All right, dear brother. Appreciate you, man.
Love you. I'm
All
listening,
right.
man. I'm not going nowhere.
All
yes,
right.
sir.
Yeah, right on. That's my brother, man, who'll be co-hosting with me real soon. Don't you know? Yeah. You haven't played and I haven't talked about these in quite a while, but man, I tell you, these are the wake-up things that that you should read and just internalize and understand. This is the situation. This Caucasian, Lord Macaulay, said this to the British Parliament on the February 2nd of 1835. He said, I have traveled across the length and breadth of Africa, and I have not seen one person who was a beggar, who was a thief. Such wealth I have seen in this country, such high moral values, people of such caliber that I did not think that we would ever conquer this country unless we break the very backbone of this nation, which is her spiritual and cultural heritage, and therefore I propose that we replace her old and ancient education system, her culture. For if the Africans think that all that is foreign and English is good and greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them to be, a truly dominated nation. That just, every time I read that, man, that just the arrogance of Caucasians, man, just many times sickened me. Just bothered the stuff out of me, I tell you. Kwame Nkrumah said this. He said, this is a speech of freedom that he gave a few years after 57 when Ghana, being the first African nation to gain its independence from the colonizer. He said, I believe strongly, sincerely, that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government. That's what One Africa is about, family. That's what the Pan-African Federalist Movement is about. They were talking about this. All the leaders that were talking about this were killed. Patrice Lumumba, Thomas Sankara, all of them. That's what they're talking about. That's what Sister Dr. Arkina Chichambori Kwa is talking about. Leadership of today of Africa, they're talking about One Africa. They recognize that is the only solution for Africa and African people. With all the united under one federal government will emerge not just as another world bloc to flaunt its wealth and strength, but has a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, or suspicion, nor one at the expense of others, but founded on the hope, trust, and friendship and the direction that is for to the good of all mankind. Then he said this sometime later, says, if we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common solution and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. I hate when words become prophetic and you see it played out, but damn it, that is what has happened. That is what has happened across the continent. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effects that the European has had on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from their thoughts so as to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europeans. This is demanded by an African-centered view. Because why? We're Africans. And because the future towards which Europeans lead us is genocide. Mama Marimba Ani. Mama Marimba. It's genocide, family. We're headed for self-destruction.
Headed for self-what? Destruction? I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. But think about it this way. If Africa united and all African countries came together at one, to be honest with you, the only thing they would be missing is the gun. And if they had the gun and the weaponry to maintain themselves as a people, there would be hell to pay on this world.
Yeah.
Because Africa didn't have all of the necessary things to control and dispense power in its most honest and true fashion.
And the thing about that,
Jay, they would be able to negotiate at the table from a strength position instead of a weakness position. And let me say this. In all truthfulness, the Negro would do nothing to no one. Mm-hmm. Because that's not our nature and that's not who we are.
Right.
There would be no vengeance.
Right.
But what would happen is they would have to deal with us on the level of competing,
yes,
ownership, and all of the necessary things to move forward the continent.
That's true.
That would be the greatest thing in the world.
Yep.
But you know the way this thing is set up, the no good filthy devil would do everything mm-hmm. in his power to keep it from happening. And if you notice, whenever we've had a clear thinking, strong leader, what has the Yoruba done? Killed mm-hmm.
him. Taking him out. They that take plain, him out.
It's that plain and simple, brother. There's,
they take
there's,
him out.
There's nothing more. There's nothing more to it. And one of the last ones that had a concrete plan on the table with a book to explain it and show it, what did they do? They used the mulatto Negro
mm-hmm.
to kill him.
That's right.
I mean, we just got to call it as we see it. Africa needs to close ranks.
That's right.
Once they close ranks, they need to unite and close up the continent. Kick yep. everybody out like the Chinese did.
Yep.
Then redevelop and create a wholeness that will take us to the next level. Because, and that's just plain and simple, bro. It's nothing more to it.
No, you're right. It's that simple, but it's that hard because of our mind. Because of our mindset. And that's the only thing that prevents us. We have everything we need. We don't need anything from everything. Anybody. We don't even need reparations. But we got to do reparations because of what has been done. And because
I'm sick of hearing about reparations, man. I don't even put that in my life to be honest with you, because it's not going to happen.
Well, listen.
And I'm not wasting my time on it.
Let me just say this. I understand what you're saying, okay? I truly do, because I'm not a big proponent, but the point being is that it is necessary to go for reparations because of what has been done to us. But bump that. Kick that to the side. That's a side issue, because the main issue is Africa controlling Africa's land and its resources, being players in the world instead of the pawns that we have become, that nobody speaks for Africa, but Africans, and we control it. I just saw another piece on the arrogance of Caucasian people who wanted to make sure that they control our resources, that they control all the things that we have under our feet and control us. And it's sickening. It is sick, particularly in this day and age.
But that's what it's all about, Oak.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. It's all about controlling the resources of the planet and making it to where as you could have what one would call a peaceful existence. Now, taking an example of Palestine, there's no real asset there other than the railway to another canal and maybe some oil. But what do the Israelis really want? They want the land to build a so-called haven.
There ain't nothing. There is nothing in Israel. There's nothing. Their main import is diamonds. Their main export is diamonds.
Palestinians' main export? Olives?
You know,
think about that.
Yeah.
If your main export is olives. What does that tell you?
Yeah,
I mean,
there was nothing.
It's like, come on, man. Israel wants to have the land so that they could make it into some sort of European enclave.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, continuously be in a position of controlling the region with these filthy Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sad. It's just like, you know, the saddest thing in the world is to be mistreated, to know that you mistreated, and not have the innate ability to do anything about it. AKA all the taxes that I pay, and I pay a lot in taxes, believe me when I tell you, to have my tax money not do anything for my people, but have it given and spent it on some effing Ukrainians and to cause mass destruction of another people. Come on, man. Why hasn't the American people figured this out?
Because,
I mean, I'm looking at what's going on
because the American
in New
people
York
are
City
led.
Right now with the immigrants, and it's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, Jay, I'm going to be going to a break in a minute. I'm going to play this piece. When we come back from the break, we'll have more discussion, brother. All
my
right?
brother.
All right, Jay. You bet. Brothers and sisters, before we go to break, I want to play this. I haven't played this in quite a while. And I know that it's a very pertinent piece because it's calling us home. It's calling us to come. Everything is there for us. The only reason why we haven't came because we're not in our right minds. Let's get in our right minds.
There is a lot of talk of late on the African continent about the fact that Africans are awaking. There is a lot of talk about the fact that we are woke. But the question that I'd like to ask you is, almost 100 years ago, a man called Marcus Garvey rose and told Africans that they must unite. Unite in their control of resources. Unite as nations. Unite their imaginations, their dreams, aspirations, and capabilities to grow an Africa and a race that will be able to self-determine and compete against other races. A man called Kwame Nkrumah came and said the same message. And another by the name of Malcolm X said the same. But the question is, after almost a century since the rise of Marcus Garvey, has Africa achieved unity? Do we control our resources? Do we unite in our aspirations, dreams? And have we elevated Africa into a continent and a race that can compete and self-determine against other races? The truth of the matter is we have failed. We have failed because we have remained divided. We've continued to work as 54 different states that continue to be subjugated. This is why the French continue to have 14 colonies on the African continent. It is why 36 African countries have got American bases and AFRICOM on their soil. It is why many African countries continue to sell their resources, their institutions, for debt to countries like China. And the question that I'm now challenging you, the woke generation, with is what are we going to do about it? The reason we've got wars on the African continent is because we're being divided for conquest. The reason we've got sanctions on the African continent is that all the independent knowledge and education, the power to take control of our resources, can be destroyed so that Africa can continue to be colonized by our Western colonizers. This is why now we need to rise. Remember that you, the African American, with all your paper money, the greatest wealth among all black nations, only have paper money, but the true wealth is in Africa. The true wealth is the reason why Africa is under sanctions and war, the one that Europeans want to keep for themselves. You need to bring your paper money, your skill, your knowledge, your frustration back to Africa to invest it in the control of real wealth and real resources in the form of the oil, the diamonds, chrome, lithium, cassiterite, and all the other resources that the Western worlds are fighting to control in Africa. Your paper money can be leveraged into machines, skills, technology, and the knowledge that Africa needs in order to move and prosper. You, the Caribbean, with your skill, power, determination. You, the Jamaican, the first people to resist European colonialism. You, the Haitian, the very first black peoples to defeat a European army. You are the answer to Africa's problems. You, the European African, with all that you've learned and earned, the basketball player, the soccer player, the sportsman, the singer, the musician, the actor, with all your billions of dollars, are the investment that Africa needs to stop its dependency on the colonizer. It's about time that we rose. And I'm saying that Marcus Garvey's dream can be fulfilled, because when he dreamt it, not a single country, not a single African country was independent. When he dreamt it, not many black billionaires existed, if any. But today we've got black billionaires. Today the richest man in Africa is a black man. We have what it takes and the capacity that it takes to grow our continent into being a continent that can be respected, can self-determine, control its resources, control the processing of those resources, and create currencies based on those resources to be the leading economy in the world. With that, we can industrialize, grow up the technology curve, and begin to create the machinery, the tools to defend the sovereignty of this continent. And now I say it's time that we unite. We have countries like Zimbabwe under U.S. war sanctions to make it unattractive for any African to come, because Europeans are preserving it for themselves. But I'm inviting you, my African-American brother, you Africans in the diaspora, you Africans on the continent, to say, come and take advantage of the greatest reserves of lithium, chrome, gold, true wealth, land, an opportunity to develop infrastructure for us to create wealth as a people, for yourselves, for the advancement of Africa. The time to awake is now, but awakening takes action, pride, investment, development, innovation to give our people power. This is the time.
Yeah, my bad, folks. Let me tell you. So I was just a little mesmerized by all the things that are not happening with us, man. That should be happening with us. It's a damn shame. So we're gonna take a break. When we come back from the break, we're gonna have more dialogue, and of course, talk about Nana Kambon and his transition and ceremony in Ghana. So, brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. I'll play some funk for you, some funkadelic, yeah. It's a good Friday song. Good Friday song. All right.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Yeah. I'm going to talk about Baba Kambang and the beautiful man that he was and his spirit still is. I'll never forget when I first met him. You know, very tall brother, strong presence. Yeah. So, if you go to bibiatumi.com/Nana Kamal Kambang, then you will get this program. If you just go to bibiatumi.com, of course, you'll get what is on that website. But this is special. This is a bibiatumi.com/Nana, N-A-N-A, Kamal, K-A-M-A-U, Kambang, K-A-M-B-O-N. And you'll get this, program honoring Obenfo Kamal Kambang, the family of Baba Kambang, also known as Nana Kwesi Ajayman, would like to share with you that on Thursday, December 28th, in Accra, Ghana, West Africa, he made his transition and started his journey toward ancestorhood in the abode of the ancestors. Following our ancestral tradition, there was a one-week celebration on January 4th. That was yesterday. And they have some stuff, some replays of that on this website. There will also be a 40-day celebration of his life. The celebration will take place at the Bibiatumi headquarters in Ghana and online. So you have an opportunity to check that out again. And there's four ways you can share your love and support. You can make donations. You can send your love donation to Nana Grandcestor Kambang Memorial Fund using the donor box form. You can use a mobile money that's on calling or Bitcoin or Cash App. I'm going to use Cash App. And the Cash App is $ Obenfor, O-B-E-N-F-O, Obatala, O-B-A-D-E-L-E. I'll say it again. $ O-B-E-N-F-O-O-B-A-D-E-L-E. Obatala. Honoring the ever-enduring legacy of Baba Kamal Kambang, we look to honor the work, commitment, and the model Baba provided for African people in a real struggle for African liberation worldwide. And you can direct your donation how you want it. There's a number of people who are. And then, of course, you can pre-register to attend the 40-day celebration of life. So 40 days from this point, when that happens, and the day will be announced. And it's going to be 10 a.m. Ghana time, 3 p.m. Ghana time, 10 a.m. Eastern time. 10 a.m. Eastern time. And it's going to be at Bibiatumi. And, okay. Record and send a selfie video if you want to send a memory and reflections to support and send it to support@bibiatumi.com. Send your picture or videos with Baba Kamal to support@bibiatumi.com. The 1 week celebration will be replayed. Here are some people who send sincere condolences. Family man. Baba Kamal, a devoted and loving man, will always be deeply committed to his family. His unwavering dedication to his loved ones was truly something inspiring to witness. Whether it was through his kind words or his warm embraces, he always made sure to show his family just how much they meant to him. And it was that deep conviction that set him apart and made him such a special individual. His love knew no bounds, and it radiated from him with warmth that enveloped all those around him. He was a true example of what it means to be a loving and caring, family man. And his influence will always be felt by those lucky enough to have known him. We should all strive to be a little more like Baba Kamal in our own lives and continue to spread that same love and compassion to those closest to us. Ashe. It's a picture of him and his wife and his daughter, Nataki Kamban, his son. Yeah. Some beautiful pictures. And some thoughtful words. Here are some thoughtful words here. Rest in peace, Dr. Kamban. While some are watching YouTubes, I was reading his books and refining my wisdom about the world. His wife took about 300 black psychologists to Ghana some years ago. That's true. At the presence of the, yeah, that's right, the black psychologists. Good afternoon, Falcon family. We lost another great one. I just received this information from a fellow Falcon to the Falcon family, who knew or had Dr. Kamal Kamban as an instructor. He transitioned on his 28th day of December in Ghana. I worked closely in the Division of Education with him. For many years, he truly left his mark and his legacy at St. Augustine University and here on earth. He was a caring, knowledgeable, and powerful individual. Dr. Kamban and Dr. Nataki Kamban, you are all in our prayers. He will be missed and was highly respected and valued by the people who engaged with him on or off campus and in the city. Prayers to his customers, family, friends, and former students and colleagues. Crystal Bodie Smith. African liberation, that's how we would always greet each other. I'm a little lost of words because this king is a father figure to me. I just want to send healing energy and positivity to the family and thank them for allowing this king to provide me with the words of wisdom while teaching me how to be a man and to lead my family. I will never forget you, Baba, and your spirit. You will always live through me. African liberation. Brother Charles Little. And there are many others. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that's being written here. You know, I'm not going to read them all, but there are a lot of people who just wanted to share words, you know, for Baba Kamban. So family, when you get a chance, go to abibiatumi.com/NanakaMaukAmbon. Nana Kamal Kamban. And then you'll see for yourself what is being stated. And of course, you can have the opportunity to check out, you can donate and check out the proceedings. So, and I think for me, all the things I just read and you know, because Dr. Kamal Kamban, he was serious. I know Brother Paul said something about Kwanzaa. last week when we were still talking about Kwanzaa and how if we're talking about Kwanzaa that, you know, Japanese or Chinese rather should be making Kwanzaa kits and the candles and so forth. And I agree. And that's how Baba Kimbang was, man. If they know Africans doing it, then we don't want it. Only Africans. Only Africans. I'm that same way. We all should be that same way in our situation. You know, Brother Jay mentioned it, and of course, Brother Irv mentioned it. You know, Africans should be in control of Africa. We should go up in there, have a conference in our right mind saying, hey, here we are. We're ready to take over. Everybody out. Everybody, just like the Chinese did, just like Mao Zedong did. Everybody out. And for those who don't want to get out and want to act a goddamn fool, then your ass is going to be fried. They killed a lot of people. The Chinese killed a lot of people who did not want to go. I mean, you know, the European influence on these countries and on Africa is so deep. And I'm saying, if you want to be with the Europeans, go be with them. Go be with them. If you want to be with the Europeans in America or any other country in Central South America, if you want to be with them in Australia, if you want to be with them in Europe, whatever it is, go there. For all the others who are wanting to work and educate each other and prepare to run their land, to control their resources, to build and compete with other countries in the world equitably. I don't know about you, but I know for me, I'm tired of seeing what these folks have done to us and how we continue to perpetuate that, how we continue to look like we so damn poor when we're not. I'm tired of hearing these arrogant ass crackers. I would love to be put in, for them to be put in their place. And if they don't want to be, then we'll put them in a place 6 feet under. It is our time, family. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Excuse me. And whatever it is you want to talk about, we'll talk about. Yeah.
Baba Oshi.
Hey, what's up, Brother Irv? What's up?
Hey, Baba Oshi, when you were speaking, Baba, I was thinking, why do I see commercials on television where you can send money to Africa to feed children? When I went to Africa, everybody seemed to grow their own food. They seemed to have their own business. They seemed to be taking care of themselves. Why are there commercials on television about feeding all these poor people in Africa?
Because they've been doing that for decades. They've been doing that for decades. I'm not speaking to the earnestness of it, but there's something they've been doing for decades, and they've been making money. You know, those organizations, say, for instance, every dollar that I donate to what UNICEF, to other aid programs for Africa, probably only like about a quarter really goes to assisting Africa. The others are in all kind of, quote, administrative costs and other professional costs. So the person that wow. runs it probably is making, you know, not six figures, seven figures probably for sure. You know?
Wow.
See, And so, so that's why you can still see that in America. And of course, it continues to perpetuate the idea that Africa is impoverished, that Africa cannot do anything for itself, and that the West has to do these things for Africa, poor Africa, you know. And that's a damn shame, and it's because it's a damn lie.
It is a lie. It is a lie for the, and you know, you said something earlier about the mind of the African. They really want the mind of the African. They want me to believe in my mind that Africans are over there starving to death. They don't know how to grow food. They don't know how to start a business. They don't know how to open up a company. And that's the image that you get from the Jewish media. Now, let's be perfectly clear. The Zionism, whatever you want to call it, that is what's running your thought pattern, because whatever you see is what you believe.
Right.
And I saw something the other day on this media where they were showing all the black men, Martin Lawrence, the Eddie Murphys, all these black men who have these white women who've dedicated their lives to white women. And then I saw the sister Gay, who just resigned from Harvard.
Okay.
And I said, well, where is the Oprah Winfrey standing up for her? Why aren't these feminists coming to her aid? Because they're coming for her. And comes to find out that she makes $900,000 a year, and her net worth is $14 million. And she's not being fired. She's resigning as president.
Right.
She still works for the university.
Right, because she's a tenured professor.
Right. So, and her husband is what?
Caucasian?
Agreed. Yes.
Her husband's a Caucasian. Is that surprising?
I'm not surprised at all. It's a white man.
Yeah.
Just like Carmella's.
Yeah.
Is a white man. They're interwoven into dedicating their lives to Arugu. So at the end of the day, when we get all the way where the rubber meets the road, you can't go against your love. I'm not telling you who to love and who not to love, but you have to go along with the status quo.
Uh-huh.
If you're married to a white man, come on now. I'm married to a white woman, so I'm going to look out for her.
Right.
You know, all the rest of them are bad, but the one I got is good. You know, all the rest of you, all the rest of you black people are terrible, but the one black woman I got, she's the best in the world, because I'm in love with her. Really?
Yeah.
Really. So it's and you don't see him on television. You got to go find this. See, and this is what Arugu does. Now, don't believe me. Look it up for yourself. Don't believe a word I say, because believe me, I did my research.
I hear you. That's right.
Because I'm not going to get on these airwaves. Go ahead, brother.
Yes. She's not married to a white woman. She's married to a white man.
Yes, a white man, a Greek.
I thought she was a lesbian.
She looked, her hair.
Because you got a short haircut.
I know.
Because you got a short haircut.
I thought she was a lesbian.
No, brother. I'm not saying what she is or what she's not, but what I know I can give a damn. But she doesn't go against this homosexual agenda, because that's what she has to perpetuate. This homosexual agenda. And when she messed up is when she turned. When she said something about, when she wouldn't just say anti-Semitic, when she wouldn't say it, that's when they jammed her up and we got her now. She won't say that.
Right.
It's like when I go to do a movie part and I tell them I'm not going to say the N-word and I'm not going to put a dress on. So if you don't want me in the movie, require me to do those two things. I'm not going to do it. Now you can do what you want. And they knew they had her because she'd already said that she's not, because they put her in charge of, what do they call it, inclusion, diversity, and some other fake Negro stuff, you know, where we gotta have civil rights, and civil rights don't even exist. Natural rights. Who the hell is civil? And when did they start that? This has all been, Baba Oshie and Jay, These are the things. This is the result of years and years of the seed of racism and Jim Crowism and all those things growing. This is what you get at the end of that. You get a confused people who have no idea the game that's being run on them, and they feel as though they're powerless to stop it. And if they, and the one thing you cannot say, and I'm gonna stop after this, Jason, you can speak. The one thing that you cannot say out of your mouth is African. You cannot call yourself. You can be a Negro. You can be colored. You can be a baseball player. You can be a millionaire. But you cannot say you're African. I don't hear none of these people saying, I'm African, I'm from Africa, I'm foundational black. What the hell is foundational black? I'm going to stop, bro, because I'm getting passionate.
Well, check this out, man, and Oshie knows this too. Do you ever notice how all of these so-called progressive fringe groups never come to the defense of these clowns? NRA never comes to the defense of a black person. You know how the gay mafia, never comes to the defense of a black person. I mean, that's the thing that always gets me, because they're quick to defend those clowns, but they're never quick to defend us that's African on any sort of level. And then when it comes down to someone to rush to their rescue, what happens? Nobody rushed to their rescue other than the so-called Negro provocateurs, a.k.a. Perm Daddy. I mean, it's just like the guy that attacked his sister and the one who's behind it. Now you got Perm Daddy at either his office or his home, out there with 20 or 30 middle-aged, retired black people marching and protesting. It's the biggest joke. It's the biggest joke in the world. And business goes on as usual. And to think, in all honesty, all is a gatekeeper. Why would she jeopardize her wealth for our liberation? But we want to go and defend her being so-called disrespected and mistreated when she's doing nothing but, in all honesty, continuing the hindrance of our moving forward as an African people. And let's not even talk about this DEI foolishness. That's a game, man. Affirmative action and none of that stuff has ever benefited black people.
Well, I mean, there was some benefit, but the biggest beneficiary of affirmative action in these programs has been Caucasian women. You know.
That's right.
But
married the black person. But I don't have time to sit here and listen to you all go back and forth about with the things that you black people don't have. You got it better than it was in slavery. And I got to go watch The Color Purple, because I got to see how the strong black man is lifted up and runs his household in this movie, The Color Purple, because I think we need to all go see that, because Oprah is behind The Color Purple. But then again, the sister in the movie, she didn't make a lot of money. So we're upset about that, and we want the dudes to pay her more money. But then again, didn't Spielberg make this movie?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Why are they still telling our story? Why can't we tell our story, Oprah? You got enough money to buy a studio, writers, and put the whole damn thing on yourself. Why do we keep going to white folks to tell our story? And then when they prop one of us up, he has to be a homosexual, Daniels. Beautiful, makes a beautiful movie, but you always put your gender. I don't give a damn about your gender. I care about your sex. It's a difference. That's the confusion.
Go ahead, bro. Can I ask you this question? I was having a discussion with a brother the other day, and we were talking about Mammy Oprah. And there was a post that I read
that voice walking tool, you know, I can take the lead, to be honest, said that Claude Anderson went to Oprah Winfrey with a business proposal, and that Oprah Winfrey rejected the proposal because there was no white people involved.
That don't surprise me none.
Wow.
And the thing is this, my whole thing was that regardless of whatever the business proposal was, why would you reject it solely because there was no white people involved? And, you know, she has the right to do that. But does that show any type of race consciousness at all?
No, that's the fear. That's the fear that she, you know, that's what she showed. Yeah, you know.
But let's be clear too. She, Oprah Winfrey's been indoctrinated by white people. So yeah. She's imitating her white master. Remember back in the 50s, no matter how much money you had, you still couldn't go in the white store and buy something.
Right.
So the money wasn't the issue. It was you that I had a problem with.
Right.
And Osha, right. And she knows that if Claude Anderson said, brought it to her, it's going to make money. This is what he does for a living. He makes people money. So she didn't care how much money it made. She just has to make sure that her integrationist indoctrination is in the forefront. Let's be clear. What we're talking about is integrationists. They want to integrate into white folks. And Baba Osha, you know what integration means. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody got to give up their identity.
That's right.
You're not going to create a new. They tried to create a Negro, and look how that worked out. It doesn't work. You can't plant an African and grow a Negro. It doesn't work like that. So what happened? We're talking about integrationists. And whenever you talk about an integrationist, they're always going to bring their white master. Some kind of way. You know, Mr. Steinberg said, I can give a damn what Mr. Steinberg said. Because, and let's be clear about this, really, I think, this is what I think. I might not be right. Israel, may not have oil, or maybe they do. But the reason Israel was so important when it first started was because where Israel is located.
Right.
See, the United States the holy, has a capability.
It was the Holy Land. And also,
if we don't have the back then, they didn't have the capability for the interballistic missile to make it from the United States all the way over there to the Middle East. So if you can shoot the missile from Israel, now we got the guns quickly pointed at that.
They understood that that's going to be a strategic location for them, even though you're right. They didn't have oil. They don't have oil there. But what they do have
Say that Palestine does now. They say that they found some oil in Palestine.
I think that oil in itself, as we all know, is on the wane, and it has to be because of what it's just done to the environment. Because of the environment. But the reality is this. That it had the religious, it had Jerusalem, it had this, that would tie these European Jews to that land. They are not the people of Israel. They are not the people of Hebrews. They are not the people of the past. These are late converts to Judaism who dominated and controlled Judaism. That's who they are. They're the Ashkenazi. They're the Khazar. That's who they are. They are not. But because of who they are and the influence that they have and having co-opted the Europeans, the British, the French, the all these other folks, they lay claim. That's why they can lay claim to it and feel good about it because they have their backing. They have their backing. They still seeing anti-Semitism. These aren't Semitic people. So when people are doing something to them, that's not anti-Semitism. What they are doing to the Palestinians is anti-Semitism.
Wow.
What anti-Semitism is. But because they are in control, that you are even afraid to say that.
not the narrative.
Yeah. You know,
wow. That's all it's about is the narrative. It always boils down to, honestly, who controls the narrative. Because
and
once
they
I
do.
Control the narrative, I can dictate the terms in the subject matter. It is.
Right, and they do.
And that's what white folks are great at.
Wow.
Controlling the narrative. Because it allows you not to be able to counter-react what they're saying because they're putting forward what you should say. Now, nobody...
You're breaking up on me, Jay. Jay.
Nobody would ever think profoundly about what you just said, OC, in referring to the attack of Israel against Palestine as anti-Semitism. Think about that. Think about that. If you were to say that to the average Joe Blow, white, black, or whatever, that the act of Israel against Palestine is anti-Semitism, they'd think you effing crazy. Am I right or wrong?
You're right. But that's what it is. But that is what it is. It's anti-Semitic.
You're right.
You know, because those are the Semitic people. Because semi... Semi means
oh,
half.
You know that.
Yes.
You know that, oh. I understand that. Herb understands that. But the average person who talks and listens and panics under the word anti-Semitism couldn't even grasp what you said.
Okay.
They couldn't even grasp what you said. Mm-hmm. Just think about this. Say that to someone, I'll just use... Okay, we were talking about Oprah Winfrey. Mm-hmm. Say that to Oprah Winfrey and see what type of fight back you would get.
Oh, plenty.
Say
but
that to
No, you know
any
what?
Negro and see what
exactly. Or any Christian. Because why? The religion is taught, you are taught to defend Israel. And they have made themselves to be Israel. The Zionists. They have made themselves to be Israel. And so you as a staunch Christian, because one of the things that Christians want to believe in support of it, because it says it in their book, it says, and it's been dictated to them, they've been indoctrinated in it, is that by supporting them will possibly bring on the tribulation, will bring on the coming of Christ. Because you, because a firm belief in Christianity, one of the main stalwarts in firm belief Christianity is that Jesus will come back again.
Yes.
Jesus will come back again. And even though he's never been here in the beginning, but he will come back again. You know?
No, you didn't say that.
But come back with a sword, with a flaming sword, you know, and kick him in.
Now, you know, you should be ashamed of yourself, O.C., to say you said black for this nonsense.
I know,
like
man.
I can't believe you've never been here.
I know.
You
need 10 Hail Marys. You need 10 Hail Marys, O.C. You need to go talk to my homosexual priest behind behind the little curtain.
You
can spend it with the altar boy. I need you to go talk to him.
Yes. You committed total blasphemy for me with that. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You're breaking up.
You're breaking up, Jay. I can't hear you, man.
You gotta be picked for that, bro. Yeah, that goes directly.
Let me just say this. I want to thank both of y'all for having one thing. The clarity to have the discussion in regards to these subject matters. Do you know how many people are afraid to have these type of discussions, to even put this out in the ether?
Yeah, I do know.
We in some real serious times as a people, and we have to figure how we're going to move forward, because we got to move forward because we don't know where we're going to be the days ahead. And as the African people, in all truthfulness, we the only ones who are going to save this past. We don't want to commit to it or agree to it, but we the only ones who can save humanity.
Well, we are human. We're the beginning. We're the beginning of humanity.
And that's why
we are the foundation of humanity. The situation is this. The reason why, number one, I'm over 70 years old. So I have more life behind me than I have ahead of me. And so therefore, if I understand what our ancestors have brought, if I understand what our scholars, our historians have brought as it relates to this, then that makes me fearless. Because I am fortified by them. I read Dr. John Henry Clark. You know, I read Ivan von Sertima. I read Dr. Ben. I read Francis Crest Wellesley. They all say the same, pretty much the same thing. And so I believe in them. So that makes me fearless in making these particular declarations. I don't give a rat's ass about these European Jews. I don't care. I'm just like Brother Ayo Kamathi, man. In fact, we're going to be breaking his book down, The Jews Are the Problem, because they are. These Jews are the problem. They dominate and control damn near everything. You know? Oh, we got to call.
And Baba Oshi, can you hear me?
Yeah. Let me
get some feedback, I think, from Jay. Jay, your line's giving.
Yeah,
but no, you're absolutely correct, Baba. And when you read Ayo Kamathi, what he says, it really, because I've been indoctrinated to believe in this integrationist and that these white people want to help everybody. When I read what he says, at first it takes you back a bit. It took me back a bit. And then once I started understanding where he was coming from and what he was actually backing up, what he was saying with, everything he says can be backed up.
Yeah.
Everything he says.
He's on point, man.
Yeah, you can research it for yourself. And I'm like, well, if this is backed up, then what do these people say about this? They say, this is what we said, and this is what it is. Either you believe it or you don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where they are with it, Baba Oshi. These people, Arugu doesn't think he has to explain himself to you. He doesn't think he has to bow down to you on anything, from your kids.
That's right.
And then they have your women. They have your women believing they're fighting to kill their children. And this, and then they blur that into the religion, and then everything becomes blurred. And I heard one lady say, "Well, I should have a right to do what I want with my body." And I said, "You should." But why are you killing your baby? Because I can't take care of it. Oh, when did we start doing that as African people? Killing children because we think we can't take care of it. When you sit on the ground, on land where you grow food, everybody gonna eat. So my point is, we're starting to take on traits and customs.
Oh, yeah,
of a
we
culture.
Have been. Yes.
That's not ours. It's not our culture.
Right.
This is not our culture.
And that is that is very detrimental to who we are as African people. Yeah. Let me take this sister's call. Good afternoon, sister. How you doing?
Yeah, how about Ghani? Yeah, I've been on. I was on the other line.
Okay.
How about Ghani?
The whole program. And I just wanted to, say good morning. Great, great program. I really appreciated your libation. You know, just listening to it, it's very powerful in the reading. It was really awesome. So
thank you, sister. Thank you, sister.
And I'm so glad you spoke, briefly about Baba
Kambam. Yes, definitely.
Kambam.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so just want to give my tributes and ashes and honor.
Well, listen,
to him.
I hope you took the information down of how you can get to his, his proceedings. If you go to Abibiatumi, ABIBITUMI.com/ Nana Kamal Kambam, Nana NANA Kamal, KAMAU Kambam, KAMBON, then you'll be able to get all that information and be able to participate and check it out for yourself and give contributions if you want to do so.
Right. Well, I just didn't know if you could just speak a little, just briefly about what books he wrote and some of the the his movements that he was a part of briefly.
Well, he's part of the African Center movement. I don't know offhand some of his literature. I can get that. I can get that. But you know, he was a strong brother. Believe me, strong presence. You know, his daughters. You've probably seen her, Nataki Kamban. You know, heard her. His son is the one that is doing great work in Ghana. You know, he's the one that is has Abibia Toomey. So yeah.
A revolutionary Pan-Africanist.
Yes.
Powerful. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I think I'll look at that and you know, maybe we'll discuss his legacy and more.
Oh, we will. We will, because he deserves that.
Yeah.
He
absolutely deserves it.
Well,
yeah.
You know, as I said, he listened to this program. He was a constant listener when he was in the States before he moved to Africa to be with his family.
When did he move?
A couple years ago.
Oh, 2 years. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He was, and it was a surprise to me. And I'm like, wow, you know, and it made me feel really good. And he would encourage me, and then got some others to listen, like my good brother, you know, Baba MVP, you know, out in Albuquerque, you know. And so there's been others. And so I appreciate that, you know. I was honored by that. And so.
Yeah, that sounds like great honor. Mm-hmm. I say, you know, I was agreeing with a lot of what Herb was saying too. You know, he brought up about this homosexual thing, or and also this fight for this abortion thing. Because I've been feeling that's not my fight. I mean, they got the black women right in charge of it. And I'm agreeing with her. I don't feel it's not the African way. And
well, that's the thing.
It ain't my fight.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing, that we must establish the African way.
And for those
who don't want the African way, then you stay right here with these crackers. You stay right here. You go along, get along with them, and you go along with that bull. But to me, we must draw a line in the sand, so to speak. Just like I heard Dr. Crock say, you could, one or two things, you're either going to be in the house or you're going to be out of the house, you know? So that's it.
You know, I didn't know the sister from, and I guess I shouldn't have been surprised, but from Harvard. I didn't know she was married to, When I saw a beautiful black woman, I didn't see that. I didn't think she was a lesbian.
I don't know if she's a lesbian or not. She might be, because
she
dresses
like a powerful black woman with an afro, huh?
Well, she dresses like a lesbian because she puts a lot of suits on. I saw a lot of.
Oh, I didn't see that. I have
that. At least that's from me. So I'm saying when you're wearing pantsuits and you know and so forth with a shortcut, that I don't know. But then again, she's married to a Caucasian.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
I don't know.
I didn't
see it, but
right.
I'm just disappointed that she was married to the Yoruba.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I thought, and you know, and it was brought out about why they aren't supporting us. So that makes me less want to support her. But there was Al Sharpton was leading a march. I wasn't about it. And I think I would just put down what he was doing. I mean, I think that it was good that they were trying to go speak for you know, an African woman that got ousted like that. I mean, even though she don't think she's African, evidently, but still.
But also, supposedly.
Because, you know, if you're not doing nothing about talking about what somebody else doing, that's a problem, too.
Supposedly, she, for those African men, she constantly denigrated them. And challenge their work.
African man?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. My God.
Yeah, at least that's what was on the news that I listened to, black news. So he said, "Don't."
Yeah, I heard Al Sharpton just praising the name like he was so good. But,
well, that's you know, that's
Al. I just didn't like. What'd you say?
I said, "Yeah, well, that's just Al Sharpton, you know, because he's a very much so a conformist. So I'm not surprised."
Yeah, well, he was speaking against conforming because all the Yorubas that was attacking the first black woman president, he was speaking against that. I mean, because the Yorubas was all, and the Jews and all, you know, they was attacking, and then they try to discredit us, discredit the accomplishments we made, because I think they were accusing her of plagiarism or just some attacks. But a lot of times, we just under attack,
right.
Righteously, just from their racist thing. So I was.
Okay. All right. I got to go. Okay. I got to go.
Right.
Thank you, y'all. Love y'all.
Yes,
appreciate
sir.
Y'all. All right, Irv. Appreciate right. you.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Brother Jay, right on. Appreciate you, man.
Yes,
love
sir.
Y'all guys.
Appreciate
Hotep.
You, folks.
All right, Hotep. I got to go.
Yes, sir.
Peace.
Yes, sir.
We in
this. Hey, oh,
yeah.
Based on your synopsis or analysis, Kamala Harris is a lesbian based on what she wears.
If you see her pantsuits all the time, hey, you know what I mean, all the time. If she's dressing like a man and looking like a man, I can't.
I wear pantsuits. I'm a lesbian too. No, I'm just joking.
No, but I mean, have you ever seen her in a dress? I've never seen her in a dress.
I don't know. I don't remember. Okay, family.
You started it, OC.
I know I did, Jay. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope to see you. Have a good weekend. Have a good weekend. Enjoy yourself and you be safe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Isantisana means thank you. BB for Hodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a good, safe weekend, family. Peace.